Hello and welcome to The Trauma Within. I'm so glad that you have joined us today, and I'm super excited to have this conversation today. We talk about some wild stuff. It's fun. It's full of emotion. There's laughter. There's a little pettiness. There's some cults. But ultimately, we are talking about the trauma within people consuming you on the internet. And today we are doing that with the most amazing person to start Black History Month with, XD. So stay tuned. It's going to be amazing. Laugh. Judge us a little bit if you want to. That's fine. We're open to it. So buckle up, get ready, and listen to this episode with myself and XD. Ladies, gentlemen, theys, thems, nims, we have XD, y'all. I'm so excited.
Hey.
I'm so excited for this. Are you ready?
I am not, but I'm so
Yeah. So yes, I just I'm told excited you this. About. We are starting Black History Month with you. Because what is the line in your podcast? The blackest podcast about
absolutely nothing.
Exactly. And I said, who should we have to start the month?
Yeah.
A petty, lovely human. Okay, so my first question for you is
so excited.
Who are you?
To quote the late rapper Magoo, I say this on every podcast, and if I'm not allowed to cuss,
you can curse, please. It's the ambiance.
Well, you know, back in this cut, like gay niggas in butt, you know, that's something, you know. So I'm going into 2024. who am I? Ooh, yeah. That's a good question. I ask myself that every morning. I am. Who am I? I hate when people say creative, but I am a, you know, I'm a bon vivant.
Ooh.
You know, I enjoy life. I enjoy life. I do a lot of shit on the internet that gets people laughing and talking, and I have a good time doing it. I also have a really hard time promoting myself. Or talking, you know, like accepting compliments and all that good stuff. Because I'm like, that bio is like, ooh, shout out to whoever wrote that for me. but you know what I mean? I think, I don't know, being on the internet makes you realize, it makes you appreciate outside more.
Yeah.
And so now I'm trying to... Who am I? I'm figuring that out right now.
Yeah, I think that's such a fun question.
That's the most honest. Yeah, because I can't really give you an honest answer. I've been like toying with like, who am I? What am I doing as I sniff 40?
Ooh, and sniffing. So,
yes, she's right there. I smell it. And I embrace it, I'm still trying to like, you know, what does this mean? Because it's like one day you wake up and all of a sudden you're 38. So,
but also such a blessing.
Sometimes,
but I always think because we're gonna get dark real quick. My mother was murdered when she was 24, and so every year I'm like, I have lived a little bit longer than she did. So it gives me another chance to do something she didn't get to do. And so.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. That's my psych brain. It's called trauma. Okay. She's here.
Trauma within.
It's like a movie. You got to add in the title at some point in the podcast. Okay. So how did we meet? How do you remember us meeting? I always want to hear people's version of it because sometimes it sounds wild.
I'm going to give a varied answer to that question.
Okay, this is fine.
I don't know how we came across each other digitally. I can say it's probably through our friend, Dr. John Paul.
Probably.
But I do know I did used to listen when you were doing the other pod, and you were doing the other stuff with somebody else. Cause I thought it was interesting.
Ooh.
And then we worked together on this unreleased project.
It was so fun.
Yeah, it was so fun. And because I feel like LA is like Drag Race. Everybody just like, who doesn't have like 9 to 5s, we all like, oh, we're working on this tour.
You want to come over?
Project.
You want to record something? You're like, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we worked together professionally on, and that was really, really fun. It was angry and black. It was awesome. And then we hung out.
You know,
that was a wang dang doodle.
Doodle, honey. This is what I always tell people. When you hang out with me, it's going to be a time. You're going to laugh. There will be food and you can walk away with a story. So we went to wrestling, y'all, because you know she loves wrestling. She now works in wrestling. You know what that means? VIP. Yeah. Okay. Free. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite F words. Free food and fuck.
Yes. If it's free, it's for me.
So I don't know, because sometimes cults be kind of free and it's not for me.
Are they free though?
No, because you give your soul.
Yes.
This is gonna go left.
Father chose love for meth.
You knew I was gonna do it. Mother God has healed us.
Yes.
She's just a little blue. It's okay.
Yes. A celestial being that is Mother God.
Above us. She's above us. I hope you all enjoy this, because this is our brains and this is how we communicate. Yes. So we're gonna bring it back. What does trauma mean to you?
You know, trauma is funny. And not in like a, it's one of those things that that you can heal from but never goes away.
Yep.
And I don't even know what to compare it to, because it's a feeling or a syndrome, a series or a compound complex emotions all trapped into one. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work to get to a place to even identify it and finding a place to accept coping mechanisms to, you know, if that's what people are into, if that's what our folks are searching for, you know, trauma's fucked up, man. And I hate that it comes in so many forms that you can't even, something that you can avoid.
Yeah. You are starting off Black History Month. So we gonna talk about it. What is Black trauma? Is that different from other things you've experienced?
Oh, hell yeah. Black trauma, Black trauma and Black gay trauma. Ooh, oh, yes.
Layered.
It's layered, because you deal with this idea of Black family secrets, right? Mm. A lot of people, we sweep things under the rug in the name of Jesus. And so nothing gets dealt with and for, you know, up front, and which teaches us to be, angry and passive aggressive at the same time as Black people. No one wants to address that either. Even though people think it's aggression. It's like, no, because we hurt, because we don't know how to deal with some shit, because we weren't allowed to at home, right? Mm-hmm. And then you also, there's generational from slavery and systematic trauma, where it's this idea of, like, you know, keeping the Black person down. It's like, yeah. And then you think about, you know, Black trauma in food, right? There's this idea of constantly people telling Black women that they're not healthy because they look a certain way. And that's completely and factually, like, false.
Yeah.
And regardless of science, people continuously, like, barrage them with hate. And it's just, and then you think of, like, Black trans, there's a lot going on, Blacks. and you know, we go through it. Like, that's why we don't wrinkle, you know? We've been through enough. Ooh. As a people.
What about when people, I'm sure you've seen this, because we are on the internet all the time, but people, like, slavery is over. Why are you guys still so mad? Why are you so upset?
Because it's not over.
Honey.
If you want to talk about
it. Let's keep it a buck.
There's this meme on somebody's social media. Mm. And it's like Abraham Lincoln, where he said free slaves instead of like free slaves, as opposed to meaning like the slaves were to be free as opposed to freeing them. So it's like, you know, the goalposts get pushed every minute this country and beyond. So it's, how can we, it's just because we not, you know, picking cotton don't mean we not in chains. Ooh, that was deep.
Ooh, note it. Go ahead. Go ahead and make that little clip. Put that out there. It's a clip. Wild.
I'm not that hotep, y'all, because some of these niggas can go too. But my thing is...
Put it on a t-shirt.
But my thing is, yeah, but it's also, you know, we up against a lot.
Yeah.
You know, as Black queer people, like as Black people who are, you know, in alternative lifestyles, right? Like, shit's fucked up for us, man, but we press on.
And if you get on the internet every day, as we do, you see it. Like, there is no, like, oh, maybe I'll go here. Nah, because even if you only go to Black Twitter, which she exists, if you know the password, Black Twitter exists, but then people retweet, so then you still get that continued trauma. One of the things that... during the pandemic, when the murder was high, honey, she was out on the internet every day, and the murder of specifically Black people, it was a lot. When you're in a pandemic, you're seeing murder, and then you're seeing people go, well, that's their fault. This is too much. Like, and then they're retweeting it and resharing it, and they're in line is also trauma. Like, you are continuously having it pushed on you on the forefront, even when you try to avoid it.
Yeah, I always say, you can't say you believe in Black Lives Matter if you're not concerned with the living. And a part of that is being judicious in the images that you share, right, on the internet, or the discourse you have with people on the internet, right?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. We're angry. We got some shit to get off our chests, right? But you're talking to someone with a dog avatar with, you know, a Blue Lives Matter flag with 3 followers. You know what I mean? And you're retweeting this, and we could see all of it because, you know, retweeting your arguments is just showing out in public. We all know that as Black people. So, you know, or like homophobic, like comments or transphobic things. And I always say, like, you don't have to share that to share, like, I get it. You're trying to ally, right? And LOL. But that's not helpful for us to continuously see these words, read these words, see these images of shit like that. Sometimes we want to see some joyous shit too.
We do. You have lived your life on the internet very loudly in different aspects, but like, what did you want to do? Like, what did you want to be when you grew up before you found the internet? Cause we didn't have her. Cause we're a little elder. We didn't always have her. So what did you want to do or be?
I always wanted to be like a, well, 2 things. Okay. One, I wanted to be a Power Ranger.
Yes! And... What color?
Pink.
And my brain was like, black.
Nah, pink. You know the vibe. So I can't say what I wanted to do because that varied. Because I wanted to be, my ultimate goal, I wanted to write the Great American TV Show. Okay. And then at a very early, early age, I started watching Frasier because I was quite a precocious adult child. I was born at 38 years old. And so I understood the humor. So I was like, oh, I want to be a psychiatrist. And then it evolved from there, you know.
So how did you find the internet? How did XD come to exist that the world knows now? I'm sure there's layers and levels. I'd love to know about them. I'm newsy.
Yeah. It's so interesting. So I was on the internet as a young lass. You know, I had a little blog when I was in adjacent. I had a Zanga. We had a following
Ooh.
as attached to my MySpace. Right. So, you know, the doll was popping then. Okay. So, so after that, I started like recording things randomly in
Okay.
college just because I was an RA and
Oh.
my residents were funny. They eventually became some of my writing partners later. But eventually Facebook videos started coming out and I was like, oh, okay, well, let me start posting things like that or whatever. But I didn't know editing or whatever. YouTube didn't really exist then.
Yeah.
So then I went to grad school and I met a boy, and he wined and dined me on Valentine's Day, and it's very slim pickings in Buffalo, New York, I will say. And so
I can see that. I see what you're saying.
He wooed me. And, you know, I was young. He took me to get that back then. They had the Jack Daniel's ribs, and you know, you can't say no to that. So,
Those were
you
good.
know, yeah. And then, you know, we had a month-long fling, right? And I thought it was going somewhere. He took me to his house and all that. You know, and in college, that's a big deal. Like, he cooked me dinner and all that. I was like, oh my God, we can't marry. But all to find out that, you know, he comes to my house. He was like, eh, you know, he comes out, we finally do it. And then he breaks it with me in a text message. And I was devastated. And I was like, oh
Been
my
there.
gosh, you know, you are the scum of the earth. I was very much like, you know, He-Man, you know, Man Haters Club. But then a few months later, karma or the universe, or whatever you believe, had a hell of a thrashing on him. And I saw that he was making YouTube videos. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, you make YouTube videos, like a vlog, like that's kind of fun, but like, whatever, I'm funnier than you are, whatever. So what, somebody told me to reach out to him, right? And he was like, I'm so glad you did. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Like, the nigga that he dumped me for, because that's what ended up happening. He was like, because he said I was too feminine for him, which LOL. Like, I
Art?
was like, okay, no. And there's nothing wrong with
For
that, but
sure.
I
That's
just
not you.
but I was just it was just a weird excuse. I think what he was, well, we eventually talked about it. It was because I was out. And but
You
it
were
was
loud.
also funny because I was out loud. Cause I was like, nigga, you not the most in the closet. But so just because you got a white friend don't mean. So the guy ended up, like, he texted me and was like, I'm leaving you for whatever the fuck. Ended up stealing from him. He was in a house. He was in a whole
You know what I do
it
love
was
is
a lot.
karma.
So
I'm sorry, but I appreciate karma and when I can watch her work.
it was so strong that he was so apologetic. He came to my apartment. He installed a door. Like he like
A
he
door.
like not only did he taught teach me like editing and how to like put together shit, but he was doing handiwork. So I
He was
was
really
like,
sad. He realized what he had missed
and
out on.
like, yeah, on a dope, even our friendship. I mean, we're friends now, but I like it was just like, girl, like, but that's what happens when you're in your 20s, you know, you make mistakes and you move on. So I started making YouTube videos, and I did it straight for 3 years, and then I transitioned into like writing for films and stuff. And then I met Bassi Ikpi. She's a poet,
Okay.
and she introduced me to Patrick Ian Polk, who
Cash.
didn't know the punks. And and we worked on The Skinny together. And so and then I started doing social stuff because that's the way of the world. And then I landed into podcasting, and I had my first show was the X Experience Radio, which I might bring that back.
Ooh. Okay.
It
Exclusive.
was a good time. Yeah, and I have those episodes. I need to figure out where to release them somehow.
Yeah.
So then I ended up with Jade NXT.
Why YouTube? Is that because that was just the time?
At the time, that's what it was. YouTube wasn't what it was now.
No.
It was a social media network at the time. That's how I met Cheska Lee or Francesca Ramsey. Mm-hmm. That's how I met Alpha Cat, who used to do Barack Obama impersonations. Like, there's a lot of, like, yeah. YouTube people that are big stars now that when we just used to chat on YouTube Messenger, like, back in the day. So
what,
like,
was it like? I feel like when I used to watch you, like, was relatable. Like, this is cute. Now I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Everybody has a crew on YouTube.
I was just watching.
Meaning like everybody has a team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. YouTube has become so much of a cinematic experience because people watch YouTube like cable. I watch YouTube like cable because there's some interesting shit on YouTube, which we'll talk about.
Yes.
But like, yeah, cults and people eating each other. But I get why there's this visual aspect to it and upgrading the quality and stuff. And, yeah, and a lot of it is low budget, but it works, right? But it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Back then, it was like you had a iBook or iMac and you fill it with your little iCamera or whatever the fuck. Like, I remember, like, no one had, like, DSLRs back then.
No.
Unless if you were a legit filmmaker. Now everybody has one, you know? I remember when flip cam was a thing, and it was like, oh my God, it's like the most amazing thing. Now you can get those on eBay for like $18.
I did buy
so,
one.
So, you know, like, yeah, and I always wanted one. I never got a chance to get one, like a Sidekick. But yeah, that's me healing my inner child.
You should buy one. I just bought Rick one for Christmas. And it was.
Do they still sell them?
Uh-huh, like, from the lawn.
Like, does T-Mobile
No, the little cameras, oh, the little boops. I bought him like, yeah, a little pop out camera for a little special. You could record our vacation kind of boop.
Oh,
we was out there. That's a different conversation. But yes, it's so cute. And they're not expensive. I think I bought it for like $30.
Oh my gosh. I'm thinking I'm gonna like start like healing my childhood series through buying things.
Oh my gosh. We need to go through, like, speaking of
buy a Cabbage Patch doll.
Remember Home Alone and he had like the little thing you could record in?
Oh, I had one. I had one. I got it for Christmas when I was 5.
Ooh.
91. Yeah, I was 5. I remember it because I got that and a Darkwing Duck gun that should have been recalled because it caught on fire.
What?
Because you had to put vegetable oil in it. Yeah, it was weird. It was like a smoking gun. And I remember using the Talk Boy. Yeah, I remember using the Talk Boy to like talk through my like my Darkwing Duck thing. And I remember like, oh shit, it's caught on fire. I was like, mommy.
I know a black mama does not deal with that. What on fire?
Oh no, it went into the garbage. Quick. Okay.
Quick.
Oh yeah. She was like, oh hell no.
What's it like? I know what it's like being black on the internet now. Trash. What was it like in the beginning, in the middle to now?
Hot garbage and cheese.
Oh, fabulous. So it's like the same.
It's always been this way, even in like, oh, even like back in like message board days, MySpace, it's always been an attack on like you, whatever racial epithet they can think of. Some of them are creative, not gonna lie to you, but it's just whatever they could think of because of the fact that that's what they go to, right? Mm-hmm. Like this fake woke bubble that we're in, you know, like I would never. No, you would. But I just think it was way more people were less worried about being canceled then, right? Like you have this the famous YouTube apology video, you know, back then. Like, and you can see it documented, like Shane Dawson, you know, was horrible to black women and black people on the internet. The Pauls, You know what I mean? Like, and that's even the middle, you know, like, and even documented, like, and then even inter stuff, right? Like, I've seen what some Black men have said about Black women or other Black people, you know, like,
everyone doesn't need a podcast. Let's just say that out loud.
Yeah, but this is even then, like, even back then, it was like, not everybody needs a YouTube channel. We not don't. Everybody needs a blog. Like, sometimes you can keep your thoughts to yourself. And it's always been that way. Yeah. Black Planet was like that, too. Like, it was very much like a, like, none of the social dynamics are new.
No.
Everything is the same. It's just a different platform. And Beyonce has a new album.
The girls love her, and I get it. I see it for y'all.
My point is that nothing's changed. It's just we just got something a little extra, you know.
Do you think it's gotten worse? And in what ways?
Yes. This is about to be a wild comparison.
Okay, let me buckle up.
But walk with me. A friend of mine works in queer health, specifically for Black men.
Okay.
And they went to this summit here in Los Angeles, and they were talking about how HIV messaging, like anti-HIV messaging and stuff, is counterproductive.
Okay.
Because they're talking about how this idea of, you know, when you keep putting shit in people's faces, and like this, like, you know, blah, 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 don't do this is going to have an adverse effect.
Right.
That's what I feel like this is now. I feel like there is this push to be an ally, a push to be woke, a push to be not, or a fear to be not canceled, because canceled really just means money out of people's pockets temporarily.
It's not real.
Yeah, it is for some. It is for women. And that's something there that should be discussed.
There it is. If you Black, they've been waiting. No. They was like, finally.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ain't heard from Croissant Michelle since. But you know what I mean? And all she did was just sing at his inauguration.
Well, was a choice.
It was a choice. It was. And I'm not saying she should be forgiven or not. But what I will say, there's a lot of, you know, there's comedians out there who say trans jokes every
and get special a new on Netflix. Special every other month.
Yeah, and get $10 million or 20 for each of them. So where do we draw the line? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not
fun, right? Like, being Black on the internet, it just, sometimes it feels like you get on Twitter, you be like, hey guys, how y'all doing? Somebody be like, nigger. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just came to see my friends. Like, it just comes out of left. You just be minding your own business, cackling. And somebody be like, it's because you Black. What?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, people are sick and tired. And, you know, sometimes I feel like if I was white, I'd be sick of this shit too. Because, like, here's the, like, you can't, people aren't going to change. Like, you can't force change on people. Like, you can't just sing Martin Luther and John, like, to people's faces until they're blue. Like, people are going to be who they want to be.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of finding, like, you could be racist at home, but but in public, you know, we have laws that are equal. You know, kinda. We believe it. We could believe in conspiracy theories in our homes, but science is real out in public, you know, and we all can agree that the government knew about 9/11.
Ooh.
You know?
Ooh. The spice drop-offs. You have to get a snatch before we really be outside again.
It's Black History Month. I gotta drop some sort of Negro conspiracy theory.
Do you think you have personally experienced some type of trauma being on the internet? Or have you experienced any trauma being on the internet?
Yeah. I've never told this story publicly of how XD became to be.
Yeah, okay.
So, Xavier DeLoe is a moniker. And so it had to come because XD was, I've always been XD, but XD is a derivative of the name my mother gave me. And so there was a point where I talked about, I made a video on YouTube about police brutality in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Because it was wild, because A, I was confused that there was Black people in Seattle, and two, that there was a police brutality happening in Seattle. So I made a video about it.
Okay.
And it got a lot of attention, and it got a lot to the, back then it was a MAGA, but the MAGA blogs.
Yes, you know, I remember that.
You know, like second protects the first type of people. Mm. So it got to them, and they found like, and this is a lesson, folks. If you got a website, pay for privacy masking on your domains, because what ends up happening is all that shit is publicly registered, and so they found out my information. Mm. Like my address and everything. So they would so I would get emails like, oh, we know your real name. They put my address in emails and stuff.
You got doxxed a little bit.
So I had to file a police report, and they were like, well, you should shut down your account and stuff. I'm like, I'm not giving this up. Like, no, because at that time, that's when I started making money. So I was like, hell no, I'm not doing that. So then that's when they were like, well, maybe you should think about not using your name on the internet. I was like, I'd never use my name on the internet. But I had to think about what can I take it a step further? To ensure that I'm okay with anonymity.
Yeah.
And so that's how Xavier Lowe is born. So, yeah.
I sometimes wish I had been somebody else, because there's only one Jamanika.
Yeah.
You know what?
Although.
And now I'm stuck.
Well, although I kind of wish I had that. Like, I wish I had. I know, just being on the internet, you have to have thick skin. Mm. But I sometimes I wish I had a name like yours. Mm. So that way I could, branding would be so much easier. But also there's only one of you.
Yeah.
You know?
Good and bad. It's only
like
one.
What's her name? Glozell, right? There's only going to be one Glozell.
Yeah.
Regardless of if you like her or not. There's only going to be one. Just like there's only going to be one Jamanika. So, I think that's great. You know,
yeah, it's weird. Sometimes I'm like, I should have been a Tiffany.
It brings a lot of attention to you, though.
Yeah, because I don't know my daughter pronounce it.
And you're the only one. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like there's always able to single out, you know, yeah. In this type of space. And it's, you know, it's one of those things you have to own it and all that good shit. But God damn it, people are evil.
So how do you take care of yourself? You know, I always ask, how's your brain? How's your heart? How do you take care of yourself? Because you have been so exposed for so long.
I have a funny story, and this might offend some of your audience.
Oh, this is how we start Black History Month. Offended people. Let's do it.
Oh, and this is a very Black History Month story. So I used to live in New York City. And I used to have to, I lived in Brooklyn and I worked in the Bronx. At this point I worked in Lower East Side. So I remember this was right after I saw Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
This one, right?
Yeah.
I remember getting on the train and I was like, it's early, it's rush hour. At the time my commute was only like 3 stops, but I was like, girl, fuck it, whatever. If I can find a seat, that's just the New York thing to do. I saw an open seat. I was like, yes, I'm about to sit down during this express train to Essex. So I sit down and I hear a scream.
Instantly.
Yes.
Startled. Okay.
That seat was not free.
You sat on somebody?
I sat on a white lady. Like, I did not see her at all. And mind you, she's not like a dim, like a small woman, like person. Like she was like a tall, like 5'7", 5'8" person with red hair, with coffee in her hand.
Oh,
and yeah. And you know, white people and coffee, they don't believe in lids. So she had it on, and so that's when she was like, ah! And I was like, I did not see her. And that's how I apply things to the internet, right? Like, I don't see a lot.
Ooh.
Because I know a lot of people, especially now,
yeah,
has nothing to do with intent so much as engagement. Like, I don't believe a lot of people believe in the things that they say. And if they do, I know it's a farce. Like, especially when it comes to, like, complex ideas and stuff. And that's why I'd be like, I know you don't read because you got your info from Twitter threads. I was like, you know, read a motherfucking book because that's not what they said.
It's fundamental.
And yeah, like, listen, we have to go back to the basics. We have to return to the natural order of things. Reading is so crucial.
The library is pretty
awesome. And so when I, exactly. And so when I can identify that they don't and or can't, I completely, I just kind of just, oh, okay, well, you can't read, so I'm just not gonna.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Like, you have to develop air of arrogance to be on the internet, especially being Black on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, because there people are gonna constantly give you negative feedback, right, of anything that you do, even your own people. But, you know, it's one of those things like, well, it's the internet. It's the Wild West, you know? So
it really is, though.
So you can go and do your own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no regulations here, you know? And that's why I love being here, right? Because it's like, and I have the ability or privilege to put my blinders on or curate my timelines to see shit that I want to see or keep whatever I want out. You know, That's the freedom to do so. Like, I'm not going to let people just, A, fuck up my money, and two, ruin a good time. I like being on social media. I like the internet. The internet is fun. I learn shit.
Yeah.
I'm entertained. I laugh. I cry. I get exercise and meal prep tips. I think the internet, I learned how to build shit.
Yeah.
I get discounts and coupons. I think the internet is fabulous. And I dare a motherfucker to say, you know, you're not worthy of being here.
So then that brings me to this question. What have been the highs and the lows for you being on the internet?
You know, it has provided me the best life ever. I have everybody who supported me or continues to thank. I think the highs have been like I got to do a TED talk. Like like who does that? Like I've gotten to market a movie, like rewrite scripts for things. Like I've even gotten some TV shit stolen from me. That's how I know I made
it. Ooh, that, honey, so is real. The internet.
You get a lawyer. Yes, get a lawyers, y'all. I'm telling you. Like my previous job was working in mental health and mental health counseling and working with dual diagnoses people, and where that was fulfilling.
It's a journey.
It's hard work. And there's a quote from Survivor this past season that this lady, and she's a therapist, and she was like, we can do the hard things. And I'm like, yes, we can. And at sometimes the hard things wear you out. Mm-hmm. And so the internet has provided me a way out and a way to breathe again. Mm-hmm. Because I was stifling. I had to think about it for a while. Like, I had a drinking problem, and I didn't even think about it. Like, I realized it.
Did you realize it because you'd be on the internet, or just because?
Well, in my previous job, because I was doing stuff at the same time, right? So, like, social work will wear you out, and so I'm going to happy hours after work every day.
Yeah.
New York happy hours start at noon.
Oh, do
so,
that?
And they go in, from noon to 8 p.m., from some bars.
That's a setup.
So like, even on Saturdays, they'd be like, we'll meet you at Sidewalk Cafe, which is closed now, but at like 1 o'clock, and I'll be there till 8 and then go to the club and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, or happy hours after work, or hey, I got off work early, $5 margaritas here, and blah, blah, blah. Like, come on, man. So yeah. Now I'm like, I don't, outside of marijuana, that's because I think it's a fabulous thing. But I don't have this impending doom, you know, and the internet has allowed me to not have that anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And I don't have to worry about the welfare. And this is about to say fucked up. Like, I don't have to, because when you work in mental health, you assume a lot of responsibility.
Yes, I do.
Even though you're not supposed to. Right. And it's hard for you to detach, but it's like, no, I give a fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Cause we're human. And however, then sometimes you find yourself giving a little more of yourself than you should. And when you do it for a long time, it drains you. And the internet allows me to not have to give a fuck about people microly.
Yeah.
Macroly, yes, right? I care about the environment. I care about, you know, wars that should not be happening. Like, I care about the freedom of all people and reproductive rights and all that good shit, right? But it's like, I don't have to be responsible for one individual,
yeah,
or a couple, and yeah. that's a blessing to me.
It's hard. Listen, I do this every day. I always say that I think this work chose me because I'm like, I should have made cakes, this or cookies or some shit.
Yeah, and it found me too, and I feel like that particular work made me who I am, right? I feel like, yes, the internet was an escape, you know what I mean? And it made me a part of who I am, but this other part of me who was working, you know, with people who were living on trains for 30 years, you know, and didn't want to get housed until like a year later. Like, it, you know, talk about toughening skin. Yeah. I think that prepared me for the internet than anything.
You know what? Honestly.
There's not much you can say to me after, you know, you hear some shit from clients, right? Yeah. Or consumers, and that way you'd be like, you know what, motherfucker, your life ain't that bad at all. And maybe and they end up teaching you stuff too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I learned how to make crack.
I'm sorry. You know?
I'm joking. No, I did. He did teach me, rest his soul. But you know, you learn how to have a carefree attitude about things, because it's like people are gonna talk or whatever. People are gonna judge you wherever you go.
I think I also hear you saying like you were able to take away gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to in anything that you do. I think everything that we're provided or given an opportunity for, you should take some semblance of gratitude, right? Like, none of this has to happen.
No. No.
You know, we all could be on the street right
quick
now.
Quick.
Yeah.
The internet shuts down and stuff. I know a lot of people might be like, well, what are we about to do?
Yeah. Yes, I am up the creek without a paddle, you know what I mean? And so I have to take it as it comes, you know, and realize that even with the bullshit on the internet that I see every day or choose not to see every day, I know that I'm privileged and thankful that I have the career path that I have.
So what have you learned about yourself in all of this? One of the questions I was asking folks at the end of the year, I might have asked you, I don't remember, but like, what did you learn about yourself in 2023? So I'll just ask you specifically this. What have you learned about yourself as you have been so vulnerable on the internet?
You know, I've learned that I don't have to... This is about to sound weird to say. I learned that I don't have to live my life on the internet. I feel like, as much as I talk about the internet as a career and stuff like that, I feel like the internet and I have a relationship.
Yeah.
And sometimes relationships outgrow one another. or, you know what I mean? And I feel like, that's my attitude towards at least social media, right? Like the internet, I do whatever, but like, it's such a broad thing. But social media, it's like you spend 15 years on it. It's kind of like, you know, you outgrow it. You learn how to be present in life's moments.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, 2023 has taught me that I'm able to, I should not let fear get to me. And I feel like a lot of times, people who do work on the internet, whether it be content creators or whatever, you get imposter syndrome, even though you try to say you don't have it or not. and I suffer from it, even as been doing this as long as I have. Like sometimes I'm like, you know, I wish, or no, I'm not good enough. And as much as I tell myself, you know, what other people's blessings are meant for them, you know what I mean? And what's yours was yours and will come to you. Like sometimes that little voice is a little low. You know,
yes.
And you know, and the loud voices of "nigga, you suck," you know, like are
loud,
are a little loud. Blaring. Yeah, you know what I mean. And so in 2024, I'm allowing myself to be the best self that I can be.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever done that for myself or declared that for myself, and so. I got up New Year's, I started working out. I went for a walk. I have not worked out in like a year, like even for like casual walk, but I'm gone every day. We're day three, but as of we're recording. So hopefully by when the time this gets out, I've done it for at least however many days it's been going on. So keep me lifted, y'all.
Either prayers or blood this little update.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
He kept walking, y'all.
Yes, I got to. I have to. I owe it to myself.
Yeah.
You know, I owe it to bet on myself. And I've never done that before. And so I'm going to.
I love that for you getting closer to 40. Okay, I have a question for you. And I feel like it's always asked in reverse of like, what would 12-year-old you say? That's cute. But what would you say to young you?
It gets worse. I'm kidding.
Struggle.
What would I say to young me? Don't run away from family. I did that a lot because my mother would mainly say slightly phobic things, but I feel like a lot of that now was just regurgitated information, misinformation, right?
Yeah.
Or one of those things where like, you know, shit changes when something happens to you directly, right? So when she found out she had a gay son, shit changed. So, and you only got one, so either love me or be alone. So you gotta have somebody
options.
To take care of you when you get
options.
Angry. So, you know, figure it out, queen. So, so that's what happened. She figured it out.
Yeah,
she did. Now we're the BFFs. But you know, I always feared. You know, like I kept things quiet. It's part of the reason why I went away to college. Like so far, I went all the way. Moved to the East Coast from California because I wanted to go be myself, and I feared that I couldn't be myself and I would be not treated in a manner of which I wanted to be. And so or unsupported. And so, and little did I know that I would have been met with the most support if I would have, you know, let somebody in. But sometimes when you give niggas an inch, they take a whole continent. So I don't know. So you know, but I'm kind of glad the way things played out the way they did. But I would have told him like to just let family in a little bit more. You know, you're not coming away.
Family's hard. Family's tricky. We're going to get a little moment real quick. I experience... So my mother was murdered when I was one, but I don't recall that. But I recently, 2023, I lost my, I call him my G-dad now. I've been calling him that since he died. My grandfather dad. And the grief of it all has also pushed me to be like, I need to be more present with my family. And so I truly hear that. And then it's the navigation of like, because we do exist on the internet while we exist as just like regular ass people. And so like seeing that, it's just that like hearing you say that, I'm like, yeah, we should spend more time with these people. I mean, if you fuck with them and they're not toxic, because, you know, sometimes you need to space it out.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
How often, this might be a little woo-woo.
I love a woo-woo.
But do you experience your mother and how do you experience her? Mm. Does that make sense? Like, for example, my grandmother passed away in 2022. And so me and my grandmother were very close, but as, like I said, time moved on, I moved away, and so I wasn't as home as much, and she passed away from dementia. And so when she passed, I, you know, it was a little, I didn't grieve as much, but what happens is I smell white diamonds every week in my house. And I thought it was at my old apartment, just like some weird shit happening. But I smell it in my new apartment too. So there's only one lady I know that wore white diamonds.
One queen.
And it's her. Yeah. And so I'm always curious as to how people have lost loved ones, and especially you, since you didn't necessarily have a cognitive idea, you know, of gotten to know her. So like, how does that happen?
Yes. And I had it confirmed because, listen, I do woo. I will talk to a spiritual person. I'm doing breath work next week, trying to get my life and some Reiki. It's so funny because I am a driver. She's out in these streets. And every time I get in my car, not as much, sometimes still, but I would get in my car and lose my keys. I just like wouldn't be able to find them. I'd be like, now you got in the car. You open the door, where the hell are the fucking keys? And then I talked to this spiritual person, and she asked me, she was like, do you ever lose things? Like, you get in a car and you like lose things? I said, every time. She was like, oh, that's your mom telling you to slow down. Like, you doing too much, slow down. And I was like, well, can she tell me in a different way? Because she's making me late. Because baby, we're late. So I think I have those moments. And then I think I have times where I remember her. I don't know if you also experience this. There's some things that I'm like, am I remembering this? Or is this just my imagination? Did I create this story?
I think that about my grandfather who passed away when I was six.
Yeah.
And there are some, like, I do have very early memories of my childhood. But, like, of him specifically, I don't know, and I try to remember if it's like a Mandela effect or something of the sort. Yeah, you know,
I have dark memories. Like, we're gonna get dark again. This is the trauma within y'all. I feel like I have take a moment with me. Moments of when she was murdered because I was there. Like, there's moments that I'm like, I feel like I remember what the cabinets look like. And I'm like, oh, that's wild. And I, with her murder, I've lived here 3 years this year. So like 4 years ago, my grandparents, my grandma, who I call my mom, gave me the police reports. And that was a journey, honey. And like, I've always been told all the things, and like, I've always like visualized, like I have all her photos. I have all of that energy in my home. But there's like moments, and I was like, oh, like the descriptions, I was like, I feel like I know this. And like, I knew it before I got it, because I didn't get those documents until I was well into my 30s. I was one. And so there's the visuals of her, people like, you look like her. I don't think I look just like her, but people do. I'll show you a photo. But there, it does exist within us. And with him, my grandfather dying, we also have similar names. He used to say, like, well, you know, the Jim and Jiminika's because me. His name was James. And I told my grandmother that one time, and she laughed in my face. She said, your mama didn't even really fuck with him like that. I said, what? So you just lying and try to be inclusive.
Just try to be a part.
Just try to be a part. But I also feel like I have moments with him now. Like, something will happen, and I'm like, why did you leave me to deal with this? Or I'll have moments, I got a Star Trek tattoo because he loves Star Trek. And so there will be moments where something happens and I'll just grab my arm. And I'm like, why did you leave me to do this? What is this? Are you up there cackling, smoking a cigarette?
Yeah.
You think you cute? It is a very real thing.
It's just so interesting how our loved ones who have passed on show up. Mm-hmm. Even if people don't think it helps with the grieving process, it does.
For sure. Yeah. And like, do whatever you need to do, right? Like, lay in bed, smoke a blunt, take a bath, whatever. But for me, I also, I'm a little woo. I will find a spiritual person. And I did find someone, and maybe you're going to be like, oh, you might be intrigued, you might not. But I found someone that speaks to, like, channels people that have passed. And so...
Oh, yeah, mediums, huh? Yeah.
So a few months ago, I had someone talk to them. Like, we did a session.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I wanted to talk to him and talk to my mom. And it was just like my question for him was like, why did you leave me in charge to help her? I was like, you got two daughters. And he was like, you know why? And I said, I do. They couldn't do it. Right? They couldn't do it. In their 50s, they couldn't do it. And that's okay. And I feel like this is always the constant question, and maybe this is something you also experience. I'm always like, are they proud of me? Am I doing this right? Am I fucking this up? And it's always like, no, you're doing great. We love you. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I always fear, even just general, my mother is still with us, and I fear, like, am I doing things wrong? And even though I'm constantly being assured, even in this realm and other realms, that, like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but it still is, it's, and maybe it's just a pressure of being a child,
doesn't
right?
Feel
like,
enough.
You always want to impress. Yeah, you always want to be impressive, and you want to make them proud.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I definitely feel that.
Every day of my life, I'm like, I don't know if this is it. I don't know if this is the move. I did a intense, during the panorama, I did a shroom consumption, little mushroom. And I laid in bed and I looked, and it was my question of, am I supposed to be doing this work? I feel like we were all like, I don't know. What should we do? We might die. And I was like, should I be doing this work? Please help me. Like, whenever I do, because she's a consumer, I microdose mushrooms now, but if I do a big trip, I speak to the medicine. That's how I use it. I don't just be, sometimes, you know?
That's what you're supposed to do.
Right? And so I was like, am I doing this right? Am I representing my people? And I promise you, the wildest thing, I was in bed and I looked to my right and it was like my closet door opened. And all of these Black women in my family started walking out towards me and just like, hey, we love you. We see you. You're doing great. And it was like women that I grew up with. It was my aunts, like my mom, her sibling, her sister, like all of these women, and like some that I've only seen photos of. And it was the most powerful and wild experience. And also, they were like, you need to use this to help other Black women. Have I done that? No, because that's scary. But that was a moment to just have, and it might be like a cultural thing, you know, people of all genres will say, get into the connections of the spirituality. But I think there's something so different for Black people. And maybe it's because most of us grew up in the church and the spirit and the blessings we have all heard about and taught about. But there's just a different connection I think, with our ancestors and the ways that we continue to tell these stories. You know, people are like, I'm not my ancestor, or whatever the fuck they say. Like, I'll beat your ass. I'm like, whatever, the stupid shit.
That
I'm
pisses,
like,
that pisses me so much.
Let's talk about it. Because, honey, if they didn't fight, you wouldn't be here. So what are we talking about?
Yeah, and like, nigga, no, you not like, like, you would not, I'm not my ancestors, you would not survive slavery. Like, girl, like, you barely survived not having Cottonelle wipes at home. So, like,
you can't even wipe your assets with toilet paper.
Yeah, like, I hate when people say that, because it just totally diminishes this idea or purports themselves to think that they're better than the people that came before us. And that's not the case. Like, you could not, you know, be on plantation, right? Like, that's why I hate when people be like, oh, another slave movie. No, damn it. Like, there ain't that many, number one. Number two, the whites come out with a damn World War Black Hawk, you know, get her done movie every fucking year. You know what I mean? And number three, so you don't have to go see it.
Don't.
Like, don't. They make me sick. I'm not my ancestors. Ah!
I am. And I am their rage. I am their anger. I am the voice. I am the boots that kick the door down. I am. Call me boot. Okay.
Exactly. Like, I don't. Man, I don't get it, man. I just feel like people say those things. Like, this is also why. This is part two, why I hate the internet, because it's so hyperbolic, right? And people are, everything is so engagement heavy, yeah. And whatever the fuck, and it turns into just some weird, like, corny black vomit pan, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not my ancestors. And then they talk about the boy who reviews things on TikTok and how he's the next, you know, Anthony Bourdain, Julia Child, somebody. I'm like, not comparing them because they white and they better, just because it's not who that boy is.
Not at all.
And then they had, and then they automatically want to take away somebody is the next Michael Jackson. It's like, nobody is going to be Michael Jackson. I hate it all. That's my rant.
I love it.
It's people want to be hyperbolic so fucking bad. And it's just like, no.
It's so true. Like, all I can do is laugh, because if we go on Twitter right now, somebody is showing their ass.
In more ways than one. Like,
literally, you might see, like, real cheeks, but yes.
Yeah. And it's like, you can tell things are for engagement, right? Like, you're not making that much from Twitter. Like, you're not making, like, your most you're making is $100, if that, you know, and you got to pay into the shit. So, like, it's not working.
This has been so fun for me. Here's the thing, though. I created this segment when we started talking. So now it's our new segment. But because it's you and I. Welcome to, what was the wildest thing that someone texted you lately? If you need to check for your phone, if you need to think about it. But, you know, the text messages are really where the good things are. A group text really will thrive. But what have you received?
Actually, I have the answer to that question.
Okay. Oh, I love an answer.
Mm-hmm. It's you. Because if you all need to know, Jiminika sent me a link to something called the Cannibal Club.
And this
is a response to an episode of my podcast where we talk about a child who is a cannibal.
It's true.
And she's real, that she exists, and she lives in Brooklyn. But she sent me this thing called... Yeah, cannibalclub.org. And here in Los Angeles, they have like high-end like
foods,
human people parties. Like, it's like, what's the thing where niggas go to when they pay to eat in the grass and wear white?
I don't know.
They know what I'm talking about.
Okay, y'all fabulous. Because I'm confused. No, no.
Niggas go, they play it. They got to pay to eat in a party, to bring their own food.
Don't you got to bring your own? Yes.
You bring your own everything and you got to wear white.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they do that out here. I think it's an East Coast thing.
Maybe. Well, it should be in hell because it's really dumb. Like, it's dumb. But either way, that's what these cannibal people do. And so if you go. They have like this week's menu.
Oh, tell me what the menu is. I wonder if it's the same as when I first saw it.
So
just do the titles. Just do the titles.
Yeah, a penne pasta with meat sauce.
Okay.
A delicious meat sauce made from fresh heirloom tomatoes, served over multi-grain penne noodles.
Healthy.
So why would you? Okay, right. Okay. Sirloin steak. A flame-broiled 8-ounce sirloin steak seasoned with fresh garlic, sautéed onions, and our in-house Worcestershire sauce.
Where's the steak from? Where do you think it's from?
That's what I want to know.
Is it a cheek?
It's got to be...
A thigh? It's got to be somewhere thick.
Yeah, it's got to be a cheek. Oh, but wait. Oh, this can't be...
Oh
my God. Okay.
What is it?
Liver and mushroom pierogi. A Russian version of pierogies, baked rather than boiled, a savory filling with wild mushrooms and liver. You can't eat human liver.
I don't like liver in any kind, so I don't.
Me either. It's disgusting. Placenta lasagna.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And
there's more.
For the Sondheim and all of us, Mrs. Lovett's meat pies. A delectable pot pie and a genuine puff pastry crust with locally grown vegetables and tender strips of meat. I love how LA this is because
still well balanced, even, healthy.
Yeah, because you can't. Yes, it's people. You're eating like Sarah and Helen, but we will have locally sourced fresh farm to table vegetables up this motherfucker. I love Los Angeles.
Let me tell you how this is funny to me. Let me tell you why I even thought to look for this. So I dated this person years ago, and she told me she had attempted to join a cannibal club in LA. Yeah, she was a white woman. And I was like, huh, you did what? That's one for me. She wanted to eat one of her subs. So a sub had offered her a little bit of thigh. I said, live your life. Not me. It was a time. Well, yeah.
Because in my head, it's like, you gotta like take them out in the back like deer and shoot them through the eye.
But you're not killing them.
because in my head, I'm like, what do you mean harvest? Like, are you getting, okay, for example. So this liver, right? Are you just buying it from the black market? Mm-hmm. Or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or are you getting this from like a morgue? Like, ooh, okay. Fresh one, guys.
Yeah, so.
Like they do on like shows with vampires.
So I have seen, you know how you can donate organs?
Mm-hmm. I'm an organ donor.
You can, well, be careful. You can donate.
I see now. I'm re-nigging my shit now. This is for science, not to be consumed.
Well, there's some places you can sign up to have your body donated to be eaten. Yeah, that's an option. You could be like, here. Like, you could be donated so you could become a tree. You could, you know. Oh. I'm gonna become jewelry when I die, so you bitches gotta wear me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Same. I want to become a diamond because the bitch lives forever.
Hello? Oh, look at that. Same bitch. I was like, no, you bitches gonna wear me and think about me.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. Yeah. Watch me. Or put me in the Brooklyn Museum.
So I think it's similar to that. But now we all know. Check it out. You have to apply. Is it real? I don't know. It looked real.
It looks VV real. I'm not going to hold you.
Here's what I think about, and I think you'll agree. There's certain places in this United States that like are mirage places. Like they're not real. So stick with me. LA, not real. Vegas, not real. Parts of Arizona, parts of New York. Florida, parts of Texas. Like, some of the laws just don't quite exist. So mm-hmm. when I think about like cannibalism, I think that's rich people. They've already been able to experience everything. They can, you know, they can consume whatever they want. And they're like, you know what I want now? Tiffany. What? Tiffany? Excuse me? Isaiah?
That's so fucking true. Because back in yesteryear, I used to date this white man. And he had some money. And he did not eat at chain restaurants. And so every place we had to go eat at was a sit-down, multi-course situation. Mm-hmm. And in Connecticut, that's not hard to find. Mm-hmm. Like Fairfield, it's a rich state or whatever. So we would end up going to this one place in Norwalk, and they had an exotic meats menu. And so they would serve things like kangaroo, water buffalo, caribou, they had camel, like any type of thing that, and they had it like priced at like a market price, like it's fucking seafood or something. And they had like a taste of whatever, like taste of the Serengeti or whatever the fuck. And he was like, let's go. And I was like, you can enjoy that. I did have a taste of the kangaroo though. Not that delicious.
Yeah.
But it's a thing. And I was like, I think people are just, they're so sick. We're above eating like regular proteins. That's for poor people. Peasants. We're going to eat John, you know, like I believe that because rich people do in like really nonsensical shit, you know, that, you know what I mean? Okay, so why wouldn't they eat people?
Have you experienced your weird LA things yet? Have you seen some stuff and been like, oh, what is this? Or is it because you already whispered at 40? You'd be like, I don't have time for that.
No. It's also because I used to live in New York, so not a lot of things fazed me. However.
Uh-oh.
Now, I support everybody. I support recreational drug use. I support it all, right? Because if it's not harming me, and if you're not harming yourself or other people, then go for broke, girl.
Yeah.
What I will never get used to is just coke being so out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she's free. The white girl's free outside.
Like
everywhere.
Yeah, like, and it's so like people just like casually do it like weed, and it's like, oh, okay, work. Again, no judgies. If I did coke, I'd probably do it with you, but I don't. So, but it's just always just, I always felt like there's something you just did in like a bathroom with the rolled up 50 in a hotel somewhere, not like in front of Starbucks. You know what I mean?
Well, they got to keep going. But, it's an upper. Keep getting to the,
I know, but then in my head I'm like, well, why don't you just get an extra shot of espresso and just take it to the head? But, you know, whatever. You know, no, again, no judges. It's just like here, especially in where the white gays be? WeHo. Like, it is very,
it's a different place. It's not real there.
Yeah, it is not real. Mm-mm. It's just like, oh, okay. And if for a place that closes at 2 a.m., a lot of shit happens.
If it does,
Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm. We like to come mm-hmm. back.
And downtown, don't get me started. That's just a...
What's that? It's very Walking Dead-like. I remember one night, Rick had me walking down the street, and I said, it was night, and I said, well, we're going to have to tuck and get ready in case we got a fight. It looked like a scene out of a movie. We were walking to our hotel, and wasn't nobody on the street. Let me tell you how this random-ass person came out of, I don't know, what a cart? Just walking slow. Do you remember that scene in Men in Black where you see a guy walking and you see like the alien go back into the cart and they kind of cover it? It looked like that. And I was like, oh, we're gonna die.
Oh, you see what I mean? Like, I think the wildest thing in LA is the houselessness.
Yeah.
And that's not like I'm disparaging the houselessness. It's just something I'm not like, It's because I used to work with housing the houseless. Yeah. So I'm like kind of, well, why don't y'all, where's the systems? And there is no system in place
there's
for that.
There's money, but no systems. Because Skid Row alone is like 40,000 people.
Yeah, it is a whole block. Development. It
blocks 40,000 people.
Yeah.
If not more now.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't, and I get it's going to take some time, whatever. That's just the one thing that I have not experienced in this idea of, I see why we have changed the terminology to houselessness.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people here who just can't afford to live.
Yeah.
And that's some fucked up shit. I don't mean to bring the mood down, but that is the one wild thing that I have noticed. I'm like, God damn, at least as raggedy as New York is, they have like housing vouchers to give to niggas sometimes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're sharing the supportive housing.
Not
like,
here.
This is just, ooh.
Okay, my last question to you, just because this is just for you. You think, because you watch Escaping Twin Flames, how do you think they got them black people? You know that one black lady. You know what I'm talking about.
You know.
You know, it's because that is a Zoom. That started out as a Zoom cult, honey. You're not about to. I'm clicking off. It started because of the internet.
Like,
so
you're not going to like they ran a whole like cult through Google chat. Like, that's so fucking crazy. I think, you know,
still do. It's
everybody, we all have wayward cousins. You know, we all have, you know, people in our lives who are black and just don't know that they're black, you know, or just like Mother God, they may have taken one bad trip and fucked their whole lives up.
Mother God.
Because I was so...
How'd she get that black people too? And that Mexican man who gave up his whole life savings.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's my thing with how they got black people in Twin Flame, though. Like, people are lonely regardless of ethnicity, race, whatever, until she said I wasn't doing that gay shit. I said, oh, I hear you.
She back.
Okay. See, you know what I mean? But like, I feel like black folks like are just as susceptible to being in cults as we always barrage other races for like, oh, I could never do that. But honey, I've been to a revival.
Listen.
I've been to a revival and in a tent. You can't tell me there's no cult-like activity.
I ask that because people are always like, that's a white thing. And I'm like, I don't know if y'all seen these documentaries. This is a whole bunch of everybody.
Or the black Israelites.
Didn't you see them in LA?
Yes, in Koreatown. Why?
Why not? Like,
of all places. Why of not? All places. Not downtown. Not where niggas take their you know, their white girlfriends or wherever, Huntington Park or whatever. Not anywhere near that. On the Wilshire and Vermont train stop. Just barking at people.
Yeah. LA's a weird place. This has been so fun. Thank you for starting off Black History Month. We went all over the place. We was in our feelings. We laughed. We talked about people. Tell the girls, the theys, the nims, and guys where to find you.
You can find me on socials at Xavier DeLoe. I'm still working on my website. Or you can listen to me every Friday with my co-host, Jade. JadeNXD, the blackest show about nothing, available anywhere and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Fabulous. Thank you all for listening. Set a boundary with yourself this week. Set a boundary with someone else. And if they do not respect it, let them lose you. Stay hydrated internally and externally, because we are not an ashy family, y'all. Till next time.
Bye.